No matter who you are, things in your life probably aren't going as expected, whatever that means. But the things you are doing right now, no matter what they are, that's your life. It's not a plan B. I'm your host, Madeline Mortensen, and you're listening to This Is Not a Backup Plan.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Good morning and happy last day of July. I cannot believe how fast it feels like summer has been going, and in some ways it feels like so many things have happened, and in some ways it feels like it just began. I had a really great July. This past weekend in Utah was a holiday, was Pioneer Day, and I got to help host a delegation of visitors from Japan. Salt Lake City has six sister cities, and its oldest relationship is with Matsumoto, Japan. And that relationship is celebrating its 65th anniversary this year. I got to help with the visit because I am on the Sister City Board in Salt Lake City. Earlier this year, my city council member sent out a newsletter, and in it, it said they were looking for board members for the Sister City Board. I applied, and I got selected, and I got appointed by the city council. And so far, it's been a cool experience. We started meeting in May. We helped a little bit with this visit. City staff, though, did like the huge bulk of the work. And now we're going to start talking about our goals and kind of setting an agenda, kind of figuring out what purposes we want Sister Cities to fulfill for Salt Lake City. Sister Cities International was formed with the idea that it would be harder to go to war with people that you knew and that you built personal relationships with. It was formed by President Eisenhower following World War II, and it's grassroots democracy. And so I feel really lucky because getting to meet the people on the board and learning about all their different stories is really cool. It was really special to host the delegation for Japan, and I'm excited to learn more about just the mechanics of being on a board and being involved in my community this way. And I don't know, I just feel really, really excited. I've done a lot of stuff with women's political work and how do we encourage women to run for office over the years with like my thesis and different projects that I've been involved with. And one thing that's like a really important starting point for community involvement for anyone is joining a board. And so it's cool to be getting to do this thing that I've known is a really great way to get involved with your community and to learn about how local government works. It's cool to get to be doing it now. I am really excited to share this week's interview with you. My guest is Maddie Murphy of The Bad Broadcast. We talked about her ambition journey, which has been so much fun. I've been talking with so many different people about their experience with ambition, what it means to them, and it's just been very meaningful to see how personal and how different that can be. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Maddie. Good morning, Maddie. Thank you so much for joining me. Will you get started by introducing yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Maddie Murphy, and I host The Bad Broadcast, which is a podcast. I'm from Utah. I was raised here. I'm the youngest of eight kids. I've got seven older brothers. Yeah, that's all. That's pretty much my background. I started The Bad Broadcast in June of 2020. And have been doing that ever since. So that has been my path. I worked a bunch of different jobs before doing the podcast. So I worked in retail and restaurants and had a whole different idea of what my life would be, and then found the podcast and didn't look back.
That's perfect, because what we're going to chat about today is like ambition and aspiration. I've been just interviewing different people, different stages of life about what those things mean to them. I think it's a really interesting conversation to have, because what we're ambitious about and what we hope our life will look like changes so much as we change and as our circumstances change. So I know you have a very cool career path that has led you to where you are today, like lots of different things you've done that's given you a lot of experience and like awareness of people. And so I think it's going to be really fun to chat about what that's looked like for you.
Totally. Jobs are very weird. Careers are weird.
They're so weird. And also like the roles they play in our lives change. And like some people, like it's really important. That's a core part of their life. Other people, like it's a tangential part that supports other areas. And it can be that at different points in our life for all of us too, depending on where we're at.
Totally. Totally.
So when you were younger, when you were thinking about the future, what were some of the jobs you imagined yourself having?
Probably the first job that I ever remember seeing somebody do that I was like, I want to do that, was I was obsessed with the Food Network when I was little. Well, not little, but when I was like 10, 11, 12, I was always obsessed with the Food Network. So I always wanted my mom to like take pictures of me while I was cooking and like film me while I was cooking. And I could like on our huge video camera, and I would go back and watch it, and I would make little tortilla or like little quesadillas or just little things like that. Like I loved that. I always thought that, I don't know why, I just really took to like to that medium. And then as I got older, I stayed really interested in food. I've always really been interested in food, but I just bounced around from things. Like I tell people all the time that I was picking jobs, or like when I started college and people would ask me what I was majoring in, I would be like, oh, I'm going to be a graphic designer, because if I was a graphic designer, then it's creative, but it sounds like a quote unquote real job. So I'll do the real job version of being creative. Or like, oh, I want to work in production or something. And it's like, yeah, that's like, it's a sidestep from what I actually really want to do. But I don't think I had a solid idea of a job, honestly, until maybe even like the podcast started earning money. Like that was when I was like, oh, I guess this can be my job. I think like the first year of the podcast, I was still like, okay, what am I going to do with this? Because obviously I'm not going to be a podcaster. That's not going to be my job. And then when it started happening, I was like, oh, I guess it can be a job.
So I thought that was really interesting what you were saying, like a creative job, but maybe deviating from what you would have really wanted to do so that it would appear like a real job. Do you feel like that was like that concern was something that shaped how you were looking at your career path? Like how did that impact what you were letting yourself imagine and consider for work?
Yeah, totally. And I think that's really common. I think that a lot of people don't want to, it's like, I don't know why there's this kind of shame around like wanting to do a highly creative job or maybe a unique job. I don't know. I think about my friends who really want to be screenwriters or be photographers. And all of them started off saying, I'll just be an editor, or I'll just, I don't know. It's like we knock it down a little bit so that when we're telling people what we want to do, it's not like, whoa, good luck. Good luck being a screenwriter. Good luck being a podcaster. Good luck being an artist. I don't know. Cause I think that is the general reaction from people when you tell them you have a unique ambition or like a highly creative one. People are usually like, oh, that's hard. That's really hard. And it's like, it's really not any harder than any other job. Being an accountant is really hard, being, you know, all of those things. But there's weird things that people say when you take a different life path than is maybe more standard. And yeah, that for sure. I didn't want to like tell anybody, like had I told somebody when I was like 18, like, yeah, I want to be on the Food Network, I feel like I would have been made fun of. And then I remember when I started the podcast, I was looking at my very last post on my personal Instagram, which I abandoned to start the Bad Broadcast. My very last post, I was like announcing that I was leaving that account. And I was like, hey, I'm going over to the Bad Broadcast full time. I said, it's my dream to be famous enough to be asked to judge a Food Network competition. And I was like, that's so funny. Cause when I was a little kid, that was like my dream. And here I am like still trying to figure out a way to get there. Like, it's like this dumb little thing that I'm like, how can I finagle my way onto the Food Network?
I love that. I don't think this is maybe the case for everyone, but it's interesting that even when our career paths go different directions, to look back at some of the things we thought when we were a kid, and like some of them are pretty true to how we feel. We haven't held on to all of them, but some of them we've held on to.
My mom would always say my brother, who loved to draw, he wouldn't ever stop drawing. She couldn't get him to go to bed because he was drawing. And now he's an artist. Now he works on video games. Now he draws. And like, I had a brother who couldn't stop playing music. Like she couldn't ever get him to go to bed. So she's like, if you're ever wondering what your kids are really interested in, just look at what you can't get them to stop doing.
I love that. That's so good. So it sounds like from what you were saying that when the Bad Broadcast started making money is when you really felt like you could maybe be a little bit more honest about like, oh, I want to have a creative career and I have one. Can you tell me about how that feeling was happening for like you, but also like how it felt like telling other people and being more transparent with that ambition that you had?
Totally. Everybody in my close circle, my friends, my family, everybody was so wonderful. But it would happen every now and then that I'd run into people like from high school or just slight acquaintances, and they'd be like, oh, how's your little podcast going? Like, are you still doing that? And I remember just feeling like so small and so like, oh, this is so embarrassing to tell people. Like, I don't want to tell people this. And it's funny because now that I've grown to where I am, I'm so proud of it. Like, I, you know, people ask me what I do and I'm like, I have a podcast and I built it and I'm super proud of it. And yeah, I do it full time. And, but it's like getting over the hump of, I don't know, maybe I'm alone in feeling that, but I just, when I would tell people, I mean, I know people who have like worked in music that like people are like, oh, are you still in your little band? Are you still doing that little band thing? And it's like, we tend to minimize things like that. And yeah, even still sometimes I'm like, I mean, I tell people all the time that like the Bad Broadcast feels like my alter ego, like it feels like a different person than Maddie. And so sometimes I look at the Bad Broadcast and I'm like, oh, that's really cool. That's really great. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how I did that. So I'm trying to integrate the two and be like, no, I did this and I am proud of it. And yeah, it's a weird thing.
I feel like it takes a lot of time to like own your ambitions and your successes. Like, I want to be proud of them, but I also want to like be cognizant of the fact that we don't want to brag, right? We don't want to brag or we don't want to whatever. That's hard.
Because that's really only women who feel that way. I mean, it's really, you meet a guy who podcasts full time, like you will hear about it and he will have absolutely no problem telling you how much he makes and how he got there. And it's a very female trait, I think. I'm probably generalizing here, but it seems to me that it's very female to downplay and to, oh no, it's not that big of a deal, which is totally what I do. And when I do it, I'm like, no, stop, be proud of it. But yeah, it's a hard hump to get over.
Having something like a creative pursuit work out as a full-time job is like a big accomplishment. It's very exciting. Did achieving that or did seeing that come together, were there other areas of your life, maybe career related, but maybe just any other areas of your life that seeing your podcast came together gave you confidence to try something else or gave you confidence to be like, hey, if I wanted to make this happen, I probably could?
That's such a good question. Let's see. I feel like the answer is yes. And I can't even really pinpoint the specifics of it, but it for sure just made me feel like, oh, I can just in general do things. I mean, I haven't started another business. I haven't really deviated from the podcast, but like even just in the podcasting field, I had somebody reach out to me the other day who like wants to start a podcast and had questions about it. And I'm like, oh, I guess I do know this stuff. I guess I do know how to do this. And I'm not like faking it. I'm not like making this up as I go. Like I really, you know, I understand the industry and I understand my podcast and I understand audiences. And I have this knowledge that I've accumulated that is helpful, that I think before a year ago, if people were to ask me about podcasting, I'd be like, oh, I'm just making it up as I go. And so as I've gone on, I'm like, no, I do feel like I am confident in saying, yeah, I understand this. And I understand my own voice and my own creativity and my own writing and what works, what doesn't. And so I hope in the future, because I don't think I'll be a podcaster till I die. So I hope in the future, the next thing I do, I can look back and be like, oh, I did complete that. I did build that. And like this next thing, I can have just as much confidence in building that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's really exciting to like be able to acknowledge the things that you know and the things that you understand. I feel like so often when we gain a skill set, it happens gradually and it takes a minute to look back and realize I'm not a beginner anymore. I'm actually doing a great job.
Totally, totally. And again, I mean, it's so integrated with womanhood and not feeling like you're the smartest person in the room and feeling like, I think it's good to know that you don't know everything and to know that you can always learn and to know that there will always be people who know more than you that can teach you. But as far as holding your own and standing on your own two feet and being like, no, I do understand this. And I don't need to downplay how hard I've worked and how much I've put into learning about this.
Beyond your work, what are some things you find yourself feeling ambitious about right now?
Beyond my work, I would say that my ambition is always above work. My ambition is always my relationships. You know, it's always my connection with my family, with my friends. That to me is where where my most quality effort goes. I love my job and I'll always put effort into it. But, you know, if I have to decide, if I'm in a pinch and I would, and if I were to decide what's more important, my job or my people, you know, it's always going to be my people. Deepening those relationships and, you know, showing up for people and putting effort into, I think being ambitious about the effort you put into the other people in your life is hugely important for so many things, but also just because we build these careers and we ask all of our people to show up for us. We say, can you post about this? Can you buy my merch? Like, I remember when I was very first starting out, I had 10 listeners and they were all my family. They were showing up for me in my career. And sometimes they need people to show up for them in their career. Sometimes they just need people to show up in general. And I'm like, yeah, that's where my time will go. Cause that's where you put your time. You put that into me. I have every intention to do the exact same for you. So that's probably where I put my most kind of gusto in.
I really love that. I think that's like a wonderful thing to be ambitious about. Is that something you've always felt throughout your life? Or is that something that as you've gotten older, you've grown more into like recognizing that's what you want to be first?
Yeah, I think maybe it was, I have a very tight-knit family. We're in a group message. We talk all day. If somebody has an accomplishment, we're all celebrating it. Like that's always been my family culture. And so it always made sense to me, you know, somebody needs you to show up to a talk they're giving or babysit their kids, or I don't know, whatever it might be. Like that was always instilled in us. That's how family works. And so I felt that way about my family. And then as I got older and started making closer friendships, I for sure was like, oh, I need to be putting this same effort forward. And I think that does just come with age. I look back at my like high school, junior high school friendships, and you're not super aware of that. Your world is very selfish. And not, I don't mean that in a bad way. It just comes with being a teenager. You don't think, oh, this might inconvenience me, but she needs me. So I'm gonna sacrifice what I need for her. If you were like that in junior high, you're an angel. So I definitely wasn't. But as I got older and I started, you know, my friends were running businesses and I was getting my business off the ground and we were all kind of lifting each other up and learning from each other. I was like, oh, this is the dynamic I want to have with my friends.
I really love that. When you look at your life, when you look at the different iterations of what you were imagining when you were younger and also what you were thinking about like through high school and through going to college and starting the Bad Broadcast, how do you feel like you would say like your relationship with ambition and with aspiration has changed? I think it's interesting how that ebbs and flows throughout the course of our life. And I'd love to hear if there are some moments that you can see differences and comparisons and what it's been.
Totally. And hopefully this doesn't come across the wrong way, but I don't know if I'm particularly ambitious. I talk to people who have really big, big plans and big dreams and yeah, big ambitions. I want a Spotify deal. I want 10 million listeners a week. I want like they push for that and they're working on that and they're obsessing over that. I don't find myself really feeling like, oh, I got to keep going. I learned about a year and a half ago that the more I did that, the worse I felt because I was like, first of all, I'm only thinking about this. Second of all, I'm not going as fast as I like, and I feel very frustrated. And I also like, I feel guilty. Like I feel guilty that I'm not, you know, that I'm not enjoying this grind. People would be like, wake up at 5 a.m. and write for 2 hours and then do this and then go on a run and come back and write for more and then record this and do this. And I'm like, that just is not how I want to spend my life. I love the fact that my job is flexible and that I can build this and I can have this job and that I can also have other parts of my life that are important too. I'm not in the business of making my career my whole life. And I don't know if that means I'm not ambitious. Maybe it's like you're saying, I'm ambitious about other things and maybe not just my career. But yeah, like I for sure feel ambitious. The thing I'm most ambitious about is having a good life, having a fulfilling life, having a happy life. I don't necessarily have career goals that I'm like, oh, if I don't make this much this year, then I have to do this and I'm going to have to push this. As long as I'm happy, healthy, the people around me have what they need from me. Those are my goals now rather than, oh, I need a Spotify deal and I need all this stuff. I'm like, how about we just make enough money to support yourself, have dinner with friends, be able to take a vacation when you can. Those are my goals.
I'm really glad you brought that up because like that's why I've conceptualized this idea of having interviews with people about this because it looks so different for different people. And I think that everyone is ambitious in their own ways. I think often ambition is so tied to career. That's just really unfair. And I think there are some people that like centering their career more in the center of their life, like works for really well. And I think there are some people that it doesn't work for. And I think people use their careers in ways to support other ambitions, or there comes different flows in life where there's a project that you're really excited about and you're really willing to sacrifice for. And then other times you're like, I want to maintain this. And so I really love hearing how you're feeling about where you are right now with your work.
Totally. Yeah, I totally agree with you on all fronts. It's definitely more tied to career. And I think more and more, a lot of us are saying like, wait, we don't want to work sun up to sundown. We don't want to wake up at 4 a.m. and fit in more work. And we don't want to miss out on time with our loved ones because we're grinding. And I think that that was a trend of the past too. This kind of, yeah, this like intense career. We were all women who wanted careers. It was, oh, you're going to have to work twice as hard. You're going to have to work twice as long. You're going to have to do all this stuff. And it was like, what if I don't want to do that? What if I'm really passionate about my pets? What if I'm really passionate about my friends? What if I'm really passionate about cooking? What if my job is just this supplemental thing that can help me with what I really love? And that's perfect. If that's what it is, if you want to work a job that when you clock out, you don't think about it anymore, it's amazing. That's a great way to go. A lot of people don't want to think about work all the time. And I think that is just as valid as women who do want to work twice as long and twice as hard and have a career that's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Like that is just as, it's incredible. I'm not meaning to say that's not as good, because that is in its own right a huge feat. But yeah, it's just that there's value in both sides.
And I think there's value in recognizing that ambition is not tied to career, because I think there are very ambitious people who are very burned out because that's really the avenue they saw for their ambition, when there are a lot of different places that you can put that.
Totally. I totally interrupted you. I was just saying that burnout is a huge thing that happens when you do put too much into something that isn't filling up your cup.
So we were talking about the future, and you're talking about how you feel like the things that you've learned with the Bad Broadcast will help you, because, and I think it's like a really great point. Like, you could podcast for a long time, but like I've been thinking about the fact that I love audio production, but like when I was 16, 17, thinking about my job, like people were not podcasting in the way they are now. Like that wasn't a job I could tell people I wanted. And so like I went to college. I always knew I loved writing, but I realized I loved journalism, and I realized that public radio was a really cool avenue for that. And that's what led me to the audio production work that I do. And so I just think your point to the fact that you probably won't podcast until the day you die is like just very relevant, right? Our communication mediums, our entertainment mediums, they change. So you just said that you feel like the things you've learned with that will really help you with whatever transition you make. From what you've learned, do you have some identifying points or core things that you're like, these are important to me, like in my job, or I feel like these are skills I'll take to my work no matter what? Like, what do you kind of distill it to? Maybe those principles or ideas you'd apply to something else?
Yeah, that's, again, such a good question. I feel like I'm learning to trust myself for sure. That was a huge thing with the podcast. People would say, what's the podcast about? And what's your niche? And what's your, you know, and I'd be like, I don't know, whatever I want to do that week. We're all over the place. The last 2 months of episodes are all over the place. But I really have learned, like, no, I have a sense for what I want to talk about and what I believe will do well and what will interest people. Because people have told me, well, you got to make sure you do this every week, or you do this every week. And I'd be like, I don't want to do that every week. I don't feel that in my heart. So I'm going to do what I want to do this week. So for sure, leaning into like that kind of inner voice where like I can have a sense of what I'm going to be happiest doing. I feel like that will be a huge thing with whatever comes next, whether it's a business, whether it's a media or whatever it is, being like, no, I want to do it my way. I want to push for how I'm going to do it. It's really good. I wish I had more of an answer, because I think that, yeah, there's a lot of things that just, you know, I think that something I learned early on in podcasting is that we can learn anything. Like, because I remember there were things in the podcast that I'd be like, I have no idea how to do that. I have no clue how to put in sounds or how to edit audio or how to market a podcast or how to design a podcast. I don't know how to do any of that. But I remember just being like, I'm going to sit down and figure it out. And if I don't know how, I'm going to watch a YouTube video on it. And like, it's all learnable. And I think that's a huge roadblock for people with starting any business is, well, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. It's like you, it's all learnable. You can figure anything out. You can figure out all the business. I remember being like, I don't know how to get an LLC. I don't know how to do any of this. And I Googled it. I sat down with a YouTube video and it explained how to make an LLC and like just accepting that there will be a lot of things you don't know. But there is always an answer. Somebody out there has done it before and knows the answer to it.
I really like both of those a lot. Thank you so much for sharing. As we wrap up, is there anything that's come to mind that you haven't had a chance to share that you'd like to?
No, your questions are so good. They're so well thought out and concise. I love answering them. I just think it's really good to keep in mind to, yeah, that ambition exists everywhere. And your ambition doesn't, I say this in regards to a lot of other things, that doesn't have to look like the person's next to you, you know, your life, your job, your family, whatever it is. If it's different than the person next to you, both are great. There's not one that's better. There's not, you know, if you have a friend who's very career driven, who's very, yeah, career oriented, and you just want to work a very simple job so that you can fund other passions or you can find other ambitions, both of those are great. They're both equally valid in the world of ambition.
I love that. Thank you so much, Maddie. Will you tell people where to find you on social media?
Yeah. So I'm at The Bad Broadcast on Instagram. And on TikTok, I'm just Bad Broad. And there are new episodes of The Bad Broadcast every Monday.
Thank you again. I'm so glad you could join me.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me, Maddie. Thank you so much to you for listening. Please rate and review this podcast on Spotify. I love getting the feedback and it helps other people hear the podcast as well. You can find this podcast on Instagram at Not a Backup Plan. If you'd like to provide feedback for the show, you can email me, madelinek@gmail.com. If you have guest ideas or topic ideas, I would love to hear them. I'll be back in 2 weeks. And in the meantime, remember, this is your life. It's not the plan B.